Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, BPJ number 101. This is Bites of Pnimi Joint, Shir number 101. Last Shir, we talked about doing something nice for your spouse every day, the act of giving. And now we're going to talk about to say something nice to your spouse every day. The Chovas Halvavos says that Machshavas HaNefesh Nimshach Achar HaDibur, which means that one's inner thoughts are influenced by their speech. Just like yesterday we said from the Chovas Halvavos, from the Chinuch, and from the Mesillas Yesharim and prior Shiurim, that outside behaviors, maisa, outside behaviors influences what's going on inside of you and your emotions. It could affect your emotions. You act happy, you'll more feel more happy ultimately. It'll have an influence. Say that's why sometimes you have to start with the outer, not the inner, and it's not fake. And we talked about this at length. Same thing with the words. Sometimes when you want to say kind words, and you do say it, it'll affect that internally. You will feel more kind. Machsheves hanefesh nimshach achar hadibur. A person's inner thoughts or attitudes are influenced by their speech. Don't say that I don't feel like saying, I don't feel nice inside right now. I'm not in a good mood, or I'm just down, or I'm just not up to saying something nice. In your mind, you know you should say something nice and be grateful and be thankful. The smile would help too, but now we're talking about the word part of it. And you push yourself because you know it's the right thing to do, and you say it with kavana, with meaning. I love you, I appreciate you, and thank you so much. Even if the inside you don't feel it yet, it'll have an influence on your inner, internal world and in your heart. Don't stumble through your marriage oblivious of your husband or wife. Be aware of their needs. Be aware of their vulnerabilities. And encourage them, especially in those vulnerable areas. Again, it is very sensitive because you could really hurt somebody, especially your spouse, when you know there's a soft spot there where they need something and it's hard for them to ask for it, or they're embarrassed about asking for something. And you know about that, you encourage it and you work with her or him and you build them up. Before you are asked or begged, and begging takes many forms the way they beg, offer them reassurance, offer them encouragement, praise that all of us want, all of us need. And sometimes they just can't get themselves because they're afraid or embarrassed to express a certain need. I want, it's hard sometimes. We have an ego, men and women both, to say that I really could use a kind word from you. I really need a hug. I really need you to do this or that for me in the house. I need you in front of the children to speak kindly to me more, or encourage me more, or say nice things, or acknowledge what I do more. In the sexual realm too, I really need you to do this and this for me. Instead of them having to be uncomfortable and spell it out all the time, and that itself is a tremendous chesed. And in the nida period as well, certain things unexpressed of normal, healthy, decent, warm conversations and feeling needed and developing that friendship, whatever it may be, those needs and vulnerabilities are a very sensitive part. And it's hard for people to express it, even to their own husbands, even to their own wives, to fill those needs. They should try, by the way, if they know their husband and wife aren't getting it, to push themselves, even though it's hard to explain what their needs are. But from the one who is to listen and to give and provide, they should try to be tuned to their husbands or wives, offer reinsurance, like we said. Get into the habit of complimenting your spouse. Praise costs nothing, so don't be stingy. And we tend to be stingy. It's human nature. Life happens, or you feel it's a weakness. Some people feel it's a weakness. You know, you praise your husband or wife for something, you feel diminished somehow. You know, you're putting them in a mode that they will feel superior to you now, or whatever it is. You're saying how good they are, what great job they did, or you worry they'll become lax, right? A lot of people do that. They're afraid if they give them too many compliments, they're going to lax off or be complacent now, or become arrogant or something. So instead, they do the opposite and push them in a sharp way. But no, that's not the right approach. Encouragement makes them grow. Encouragement allows them to shine. Kind words serve a double purpose. Number one, your husband or wife will feel great, will feel really, really good, and you're giving them that chesed. And also, like the Chayv HaSalvavus just said, your kind words will inspire you with positive attitudes towards your spouse. You look beautiful, you look handsome, especially when they're dressed up going to a simcha. I thought you handled that situation very well with what you said. In other words, sometimes we often criticize how our husband or wife interacts with our children. But when you see they're interacting in a nice way and they're clicking and they're bonding and they're doing things well, you overhear the husband learning with your child, or a husband overhears his wife helping one of them with their homework, whatever it may be, and then they had a conversation, or whatever it is. I thought you handled that very, very well. You're doing a great job. I like the game you made up for Rivka. There's a lot of creativity going on there. Appreciate that. Doesn't have to be complicated. Doesn't have to be original, just powerful and direct on what you're doing. Basically, you're communicating that you're paying attention to what your husband or wife is doing, and you appreciate what a less wise spouse might miss, might take for granted, but you're not going to take it for granted. Be specific in how you praise, not general, not vague. Oh, I see overall you're a nice person. Shkoyach. No, this particular thing you did was beautiful, was wonderful. And say it with sincerity, say it with lovingly. Again, even if the emotion is not yet felt in the heart, here be an actor, because being acting is not really acting, it's truth. This is how you want to be and you want to get there. And unfortunately, most couples do not give each other sufficient praise. Most couples do not give each other sufficient praise. Which means there's a certain emotional intimacy that is lacking in most couples, and we really need to work through it. The next thing we're going to talk about is to develop a great respect for your relationship. Most of the time when couples disagree about issues, they commit a very common mistake. Each spouse, confident that he or she is right, prevents facts, cold hard facts, evidence that will establish who's right or who's wrong. In other words, there's an objective truth. He knows he possesses it. She knows she possesses it. And you know what they're acting like now? Two lawyers. Two lawyers that are haggling over facts as they struggle to create their timeline, their sequence of events of what happened, and assign blame to one another. And that is a terrible, terrible waste of time, terrible waste of energy. And worse than that, it creates a distance, them becoming further and further away from being connected. He says a big yesod to remember this. What is emes? Truth is not composed of facts. Its truth is composed of perspectives. In a marriage, there isn't one truth. There are two truths. Each spouse, husband and wife separately, possessing one of them. And each truth is equally authoritative and equally compelling and equally true. We have the ability in us. It comes from the koyach, as we're going to explain soon, of what Elu ve'elu Devrei Elokim Chayim is. We have a natural resistance to hold that back. We have a difficulty accepting the truth of the other when we feel differently. Boys have this in their learning Gemara all the time. They each, basically it's called Chakira, back and forth arguments in the Mishnah and then the Gemara, they have this a lot. You have a question, answer, challenge, counter-challenge, especially in Talmud Bavli, more than Talmud Yerushalmi. And then it goes further with the Rishonim, and then further with the Achrayim, and there's constant battles going back and forth, intellectual arguments going back and forth. And yet, Elu ve'elu devrei Elokim chayim. And be'ikr, at the end, if you're really doing it right, all these tzaddikim that fought with each other when they were learning or disputing halacha, it's not to identify which opinion is correct. All of them are correct. And we're talking about true Talmid Chachamim that respect and know each other and understand that they both are looking for the truth. Why? Because basically truth is the way Hashem created this exceedingly complex dimension of multifaceted world. And therefore, Hashem created many truths that are real truths. And I'll give you one example of this. It was felt for a long time that it's the earth, it is the sun rather, that revolves around the earth. Why? Because to our naked eye, we see the sun rising from the east and setting at the west, moving in that motion, the sun is in motion. We see the sun in motion. Thus, we come to the conclusion that the sun goes around the earth. Then you look at quote-unquote objective science, and we see it's not like that. In the physical metzius of it, it's not that way. The earth is what is revolving around the sun, and the sun is stationary. So, which means that what we see is false. But the answer is no. What we see is true. Hashem is trying to teach us that lesson, by the way, with this very phenomenon. Hashem is saying like this, look at this for a second. In reality, meaning in the physical reality, it's established that the sun is where it is and the earth revolves around the sun. But I put before you in the naked eye that when you stand on your 2 feet looking up to the sky and that the sun moves, that is truth, because that's the way I want you to perceive it. Those are the lessons I want you to learn. In a certain way, you should know that the truth of the sun going around the earth is more true than the scientific fact that the sun is stationary and the earth is going around it. More true in a certain sense. Why? Because Hashem is saying, never mind how I do it, or it seems opposite of the way it looks. I want you to perceive it this way. That's how we have the pasuk in Tehillim, mi mizrach shemesh ad mivoyhoi mu'ul al shem Hashem. From when it shines all the way until it sets, you praise Hashem. The Mefarshim say that when the sun goes from the east to the west, it's like the sun is bowing down to Hashem. That's its bittul. That's its ishtachavoya. This is brought down in a note in the Sefer HaTanya, but it's overall, that concept is spread out all over. We need to understand that. When we're talking to our spouse and we see things differently in our perspectives, one of them is going on saying in a concept of they see that the earth is going around the sun and the other one sees the sun is going around the earth. Which one is true? They're both true. One in the physical concept sense, and the other one in the way Hashem had us perceive it sense. What Hashem wants us to perceive is very, very important. Like the sky being blue, we knew this. No, the sky is not blue, right? Because of the sun rays or however it is, I'm not in the science now of it, it appears blue to us because of certain phenomenons, but it's intrinsically not blue. But again, in Chazal, it talks a lot about this tcheles. this blueness of the sky. It's real. Hashem wants it for us to perceive it that way, so it is emes. Same thing with your spouse. That should be the mahalach, the attitude, that there is truth in each one of your perspectives. You got to find the truth in each one of them and build on it and learn what Hashem wants you to learn from it, and you'll grow together with that truth, not being stuck with your own version of truth that causes you to drift apart more. You need to become closer to with each other to understand that you may have your own inner truth, but so does your wife, so does your husband, and you work together with it. Bracha v'atzlacha.